Proverbs chapter 19. We'll be looking at just two verses here in Proverbs, but we'll look at some others in the New Testament to begin with, and then come back to Proverbs in just a little bit, but that's going to be our starting point. And I want to preach tonight a message entitled, How to Get Counseling from the Pulpit. And hopefully that'll be a helpful tonight, instructive message on how to get counseling from the pulpit. Let's all stand for reading of God's Word this evening, for respect for the Word of God. Stretch your legs one more time and wake up. And then I'll let you sit back down and won't interrupt your sleep for another 35 minutes. Verse number 20 says, Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Father, help us tonight as we look at these few verses tonight, some others along the way. I pray, God, that you would bless, Lord, the preaching ministry and the pulpit ministry of this place, Father. Lord, may you be exalted always from behind the pulpit. And, Lord, may we not preach men or ourselves, but Jesus Christ. Father, I also pray that you'd help the pew ministry to be attentive and listening, Father, and helped. And Lord, we'll thank you now, Father, for all that you've done and what we'll do for our church and our services, Father. Thank you for the visitors this morning. What a blessing, Lord, as we go out and knock on doors. To be honest, Father, there are times when it's a bit discouraging to hear this, the cold response of people. So Lord, today we're greatly encouraged once again, Father. Well, to just know there are some folks, Father, Lord, that need to hear the gospel. They're looking for you, Father. May we be a light and be a faithful light until you return. This we ask in your precious name, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to mark your place there in Proverbs chapter 19, and let's go to the New Testament for just a little while. And let's look at Titus chapter 1 first in the New Testament. Tonight's message is how to get counsel from the pulpit. You know, there are some people, I've pastored for a little while now, there are some people that never come to my office for counseling. And they don't need to because they get counsel from the pulpit. They're listening. They get counsel from their own walk with God. They get counsel from the pulpit. So as the Word of God is being preached, they're getting help. And that's what it ought to be. There are some folks that never darken my office that ought to because they seem like they need to get counsel from the pulpit or from anybody else. But you can get counsel from the pulpit. I believe you ought to. I think sometimes that taken for granted the pulpit ministry of a church. And we like a church that has activities and programs and youth groups and entertainment. And the pulpit ministry is made little of. And just little sermonettes are given. And no help is really given. And so the pulpit ministry, I believe, was designed to be the help of the church, for the counseling of the church. And if you'll listen, there's oftentimes you can get a lot of counsel from the pulpit. That's what it ought to be. I think that people ought to get help from no matter where they're at, get help from the Word of God. I'm not against special ministries at times for special needs. But there used to be a day and age when no special needs could get met from the pulpit. You know, folks get help from the pulpit no matter where they're at. Whether they're drug addicts or alcoholics, or whether they're suffering from depression, discouragement, or marital problems, the pulpit would help them. And I think that we ought to get back to a day when that's the case. But watch this now. Look at Titus chapter 1. Notice with me tonight the commitment of the preaching ministry. First of all, an introduction. The commitment of the preaching ministry. Titus 1 verse 1 says this. Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Thank God for eternal life. That's God's promise. Verse number 3 says, But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. We find that here's Paul's own testimony to the man named Titus. Titus, a young man, a young preacher in the Lord that Paul had mentored and helped along the way. But Paul here, he reveals his own testimony that the preaching ministry which was committed unto him according to the commandment of God. There was a commandment and a commitment to the preaching ministry. We find here that the gospel is manifested through the preaching ministry from the pulpit. Verse number 3 says that but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. And so we find that the Word of God, that God has designed it, that preaching would be the avenue to manifest His Word. Not drama teams, not some kind of dance team. I've seen flag teams on the pulpit where they have some kind of flag thing and they do all kinds of things with flags. If you Google crazy things that happen in church, you would be surprised what takes place in the name of church. And God designed it that the pulpit ministry would be the ministry, the preach ministry would be the ministry that His Word was manifested and the gospel was preached from. And so there's a commitment of the preaching ministry. Then look back at 2 Timothy chapter 4. We find here this, not only the commitment of the preaching ministry, we find the charge to the preaching ministry. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1, the Bible says, as Paul again writes to another young preacher, a young man named Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Now we could simply go to the punctuation marks and we can jump from, I charge thee before God, Lord Jesus Christ, preach the word. And here, so Timothy is being charged by the Apostle Paul to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Here we find not only there's a commitment of the preaching ministry that God gave to get to man, but we also find the charge to the preaching ministry. Timothy was being charged. Timothy preached the word. So here Timothy is being told, Timothy, the most important thing you can do as a preacher is preach the word.
Amen.
And I believe that that's the number one thing a preacher is to be involved in, is not only just prayer and fasting, which is important, but also preaching the word. Not just from the pulpit, by the way, but to every creature and to all nations, but we are to be busy preaching the word. Preaching always works.
Amen.
Preaching always works. The failure of preaching is a failure to preach the word. If there's any failure at all in the preaching ministry, it's a failure to preach the word. There might be a failure when a preacher gets up and tells a lot of stories. Or preaches man. Or preaches himself. There might be a failure when the preacher gets up and preaches for prosperity or popularity's sake. But there's never a failure when you preach the word of God. Even when folks refuse to hear or listen, there's still no failure in preaching the word. And so the failure of the preaching ministry is a failure to preach the word. The failure of the preaching ministry is a failure to hear the word. So not only does a preacher must preach the word, but people must hear the word of God. So Timothy was told, Timothy, there's going to come a day when people, God's people, God's so-called people, professing believers, will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want to hear preaching, but they're going to want to hear stories and fables and have itching ears and want to be entertained. He said, Timothy, you just preach the word and make full proof of thy ministry. And so it's the lust of the worldly and it's the lust of the worldly contemporary church that turns their ears away from preaching. Say that again, it's the lust of the worldly contemporary church that turns their ears away from the preaching. It's the worldly church, the contemporary church that wants to turn its ears away from the preaching of the Word of God, from naming sin and calling sin what it is, and calling folks to righteousness and godly living and godliness and preaching what's right. And now we substitute preaching for entertainment and stories and drama and all kinds of foolishness behind the pulpit. And folks might be going to church, but they're not getting saved. They're not getting right. They're not getting preached to. And so we find that people come to church and as sinners and leave the same way as they came. So we find that there's a charge, the preaching ministry, the preacher is to preach the word. Now look at the book of Ephesians chapter 4, back a few pages to the left. Ephesians chapter 4, we find also the counsel from the preaching ministry. So we see there's a commitment to the preaching ministry. Paul is committed to the preaching ministry. That was his calling from God. I don't think that preacher should be mama called and daddy sent, or either way around. God calls preachers. I never have pushed my boys to be in the ministry. In fact, I've discouraged them from being in the ministry. I figure if I can discourage them, they weren't called. And so I don't want them to be in the ministry because I'm a preacher. I want them to be in the ministry because God called them to be in the ministry. But we find that also as God calls, there's also a charge then to be in the preaching ministry, but there's a reason for it. Not just to preach the gospel, folks might get saved, but look at Ephesians chapter 4, And in verse number 11, it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets. Now, these are also according to dispensations as well. But find, and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For what reason? For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. So preaching is good for the lost. The gospel is preached, may manifest through preaching. Those that love the Lord and love Jesus Christ love preaching. Those that do not love the Lord, reject Christ, they see preaching as foolishness. But it's the power of God. But also we find that the preaching ministry is also used to edify the body of Christ for the perfecting of the saints. And so there's counseling from the pulpit that takes place every week. And folks can get help in their life. If the Word of God can't help your life, what are we doing? It doesn't make any sense to come to church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and Sunday school and other different activities and revival meetings if the Word of God, the preaching of God's Word, cannot help our daily life. God's Word is the show of salvation for everlasting life. But God's Word has a lot to say about how you live your life this side of heaven. And it's important how you live this life. How you live this life will depend on some rewards and some positions in the next life as well. We think, oh, preacher, that's no big deal. As long as I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. What does it matter? It'll matter one day. You stand before God and give an account of your life, what you've done in this life. And the words that you may or may not receive. And so it does matter. And so we find that the pulpit ministry was designed for the counsel and the perfecting of God's people. The pulpit ministry must preach the word. The pew ministry must receive the word. And so tonight I'm going to talk to you, give you some thoughts tonight from the scripture on how to receive counsel from the pulpit to the pew. How to get it in your life. How to make sense. What the preaching takes place. Is it just to entertain? Is this the Baptist, preacher, we can't go dancing, we can't go to the movies, so we go to preaching for entertainment. Sometimes preaching can be entertaining, but it ought to be instructive and helpful. It ought to be life-changing. And ought not just go in one ear and out the other. The preaching is for the changing of our lives to be more like Christ Jesus. And so, let me give you tonight some thoughts how to get counsel from the pulpit to the pew. Number one, be faithful in your attendance. Be faithful in your attendance to church. Look at the book of the Hebrews with me. Hebrews chapter number 10. I'll pull that out. Let me show you something here. Hebrews chapter number 10. Let's read a few verses. You follow along as I read. By the way, if you don't have a Bible, use a Bible, you might not get a lot of help sometimes from preaching. You at least ought to write a few things down. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 22 says this. Watch what the Word of God says. Let us, that's speaking of the church, the believer, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Here we have some instruction for the believer that we're to be faithful in our attendance, we're to be faithful in our assembling together. You know, the Christian life is not about how far you can stay away from God. You know, some people have that. I think there's some folks have the idea, as long as I'm saved, I can stay as far away from God as I possibly can get. But we find in the scripture, the Bible says, let us draw near. And so the Christian life is not about how far you get from God, or how far you can stay from God, or what, you know, just some kind of happy little distance. But God says that a Christian life is a life about drawing near to God. We're to draw near to God. We're to be faithful and be steadfast in the Word of God. Hold fast to the profession of our faith. The body of Christ is to be a place of exhorting one another, encouraging one another, provoking unto love and good works. Many of life's problems can be solved just by faithfully attending church services. Well, they can. Many of life's problems that we face can simply be solved by being faithful attenders at church. Some folks want to only come when disaster hits. You know, all of a sudden when disaster hits and there's a lot of problems, well, let's go to church a few more times this week. Wait a minute, you could prevent some problems. You know, I have found through my own life that many problems that I face are self-inflicted. I don't need the devil as an enemy. I'm my biggest enemy myself. I don't need church folks to mess me up. I can mess myself up just fine. Thank you very much. And so my biggest problem is me. My biggest problems are self-afflicted. And so, but if I just learn to do some basic things faithfully, I can avoid a lot of problems in my own life. And I can find a lot of answers to the problems of my life. Faithful attendance. You say, well, I was at Sunday morning service. I got nothing this morning. All right, then come back and get something tonight.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised what you'll get on an evening service or a Wednesday night service. Well, Wednesday night is so hard. I've worked all day and, I'm tired. I'm worn out. I'm a little hungry. I'm crabby at night. I don't want to go to church. But it might be the service that you need for your problem. Sunday school hour. Well, that's so early, 10 o'clock. I remember as a kid, when it was a lot earlier than 10 o'clock in the morning. If you don't miss your job at 8 or earlier, 10 o'clock's not that early. But you'd be surprised the help you'll find in Sunday school hour.
Sure.
See, there's counseling from the pulpit. And one of the first things we got to do is, if you don't come get counsel, you ain't going to get counsel. Oh, I just don't know what to do. Well, come be faithful in church. So we find that how to get counsel in the pulpit, be faithful in your attendance. Too many folks think that the occasional church visit will keep them spiritually healthy. We treat church like we treat the doctor. I don't really want to go. I got to. I will. But you got to stay healthy. You got to come to church, be faithful in your church attendance. They say, preacher, why is it a big? I've heard some folks say, hey, it's not a big deal. Well, God made it a big deal. I'll be honest. If God didn't make it a big deal, I wouldn't. Because there are many times, even as a pastor who enjoys the ministry, there are many times when I'd rather be somewhere else than behind the pulpit. But God made it a big deal. In fact, Jesus Christ, his habit was to be, when he was here and walked this earth, his habit was when there was a Sabbath day, he was in the synagogue. He left us an example how he lived, we should live. And so church is a big deal because God's made it a big deal. And we're to come together to provoke each other to love and good works and to serve God. And so be faithful in your attendance. Number two, be spiritual in your walk. Be spiritual in your own walk. Look with me at Romans chapter number 8, please. Turn back to Romans chapter number 8. There's counseling from the pew ministry as well. It'll get better. We took Joshua out just a few months ago for the last time. So it gets better. Romans chapter 8, verse number 5 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are of the spirit the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is to be death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye, not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be the spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man hath not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Here's what I want to say. To get help from the pulpit ministry, you must be faithful in your attendance, but you must be spiritual in your walk. What do I mean by that? There's too much humanism and worldliness in our own logic. We've been influenced too much by television and Hollywood and our world's culture. And so oftentimes we are carnally minded. And to be carnally minded is to be of no heavenly good. To be carnally minded is not to please God. We walk in the flesh. And so if you spend the week walking in the flesh, you can't walk in here and get help in the Spirit. There's been times that I've been doing something. I've been hungry, and so I've stopped, and I might have got a soda, and the apple fritters got the best of me, and I might have got an apple fritter or a candy bar or something like that to tie me over, and I get full. And I get home, and there's a full meal for me. Guess what? I'm full of junk food, and so I'm not all that hungry for the better stuff. And so the same way spiritually speaking, if you are carnally minded all week long and indulge your flesh all week long and don't take care of your own spirit, 1 hour of church has a hard time impacting that. And so you must learn how to feed yourself spiritually. keep yourself spiritually strong. We attempt to handle spiritual matters with fleshly resources. So we got to get counsel from God's Word, counsel from the pulpit ministry, counsel from preaching, but oftentimes we attempt to do spiritual things with human resources. We attempt to serve God spiritually in our flesh, and that's of no heavenly good. So you must walk with God. I think there's very little actual, and I don't mean this to be unkind, but I really believe in today's society, there's very little walking with God being done on a private basis. Our prayer rooms are hardly entered into. Our knees are very seldom bent. God's Word is hardly ever cracked open for real help. We whisper a prayer in the morning and think, you know, I whispered a prayer, I'm good. We call, you know, I'll be honest, sometimes I don't want to hear people say, well, I prayed about it. Well, I know they haven't. You might have prayed, you know, a little five and dime prayer, you know, Lord, bless this food and please help me make my decisions. And we say, well, I prayed about it and I feel good about this. Well, I can feel good about a lot of things, but that's not the God's will. And so we need to be spiritual, walk in the Spirit of God. So be spiritual in your walk. Number three, be prepared for Sunday. Be faithful in your attendance. Be spiritual in your walk. Number three, be prepared for Sunday. What do I mean by that? Don't indulge the flesh. Saturday nights for many Christians have become a flesh feast. What do I mean? I'm thinking that people, again, I'd like to have fun. I want to enjoy life. You know, if I have to live until Christ returns or calls me home, I would enjoy life. Life, and God, by the way, God didn't give us life to go through life miserable. We're to enjoy life. There's some things that we can do that's not sinful. But oftentimes, Saturdays come, we think it's just a flesh fest. And we indulge our flesh. Then expect to get help on Sunday when we're, you know, we stay up late in the night. Folks stay up late in the night. Not for prayer. Not for Bible reading. Not to ask God, God, please give us debut. God, please put power in our church. God, please anoint our preacher. God, please anoint our families. We stay up late at night watching all kinds of crazy stuff on TV. We go to the Red Box and rent movies, and we watch the Lord of the Rings, and we watch vampire stuff and all kinds of wizardry stuff and magic and all kinds of things, and then we start to come to church and find help. When all week long we've indulged our flesh, we come to church and we're hungover from the movies, we're hungover from our flesh, we're tired and we're sleepy, we come to the pew and we get no help at all because we didn't prepare for Sunday. Prepare for Sunday. You know, you say, preacher, I'm just a night owl. Well, how about being a church owl once? How about getting a little sleep on Saturday night? And treating church with a priority. Not just something we have to do to appease our conscience. But a priority, this priority in church. I'm gonna get ready for church. I'm gonna prepare Saturday night for Sunday morning. And I'm gonna get some sleep on Saturday night. I'm gonna shut the TV off. I'm gonna put my phone down. I'm gonna put my iPad down. I'm gonna go to sleep at night and pray, God, please anoint me. Anoint the preacher. Anoint our church. Help me, God. And so Sunday is a low priority. We don't come with a spirit of worship. We drag them oftentimes with a spirit of carnality. Our kids know more about movies, and Batman and Robin, and Spider-Man, and all those other things that play. They know about those characters than they know about Samson and David and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So y'all don't believe you, preacher. You spend some time listening to the kids just talking casual conversation. There's more talking about movies and wicked books than there are about the things of God. And then we wonder why we're not getting any counsel from the pulpit. Because in an hour, in 30 minutes, I can't combat that. And we push out God's Word, and so we must be prepared for Sunday. Come hungry. Come hungry. Oftentimes, when I left church unfed, because I come to church not wanting to be fed. I didn't come to be a blessing or expect a blessing. I like these verses in Psalm 73, 25 and 26. It says, whom I have in heaven but thee. There is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Paul, the psalmist said, I desire God, I desire you. We find in Psalms 19, 9 and 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. more to be desired than they that are gold, even than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. You see, the psalmist here writes, he goes, I desire God and His Word more than anything else in this life. And so if we're going to get help from the pulpit, we must come to church hungry. What is your desire? What is your desire? What is your hunger? Do we desire once again for God? Hunger for God, to walk with God, to get closer to God. Are we content and satisfied? God, I'm spiritual as I want to be. I'm close to You as I want to be, God. I'm okay. May I remind you that the church at Laodicea said, they said, we are fine. We are full. We have everything we need. God, we are content where we're at. And God said, but wait a minute. I don't see you that way. I see you as poor and wretched and blind and miserable. You're naked and you're undone. He said, I counsel thee to buy of Me. So salve to anoint your eyes that you may see and hear. And so oftentimes we live in a day and age where we think we're just fine. We got what we need. When God says, you're far, your mouth is close to Me, but your heart is far from Me. Desire God, church. Desire God. May we as people from the pulpit to the pew desire the things of God. And desire to walk with God. Desire to know Him and walk hand in hand. Listen, we love His blessings, but we love Him as a blesser. And so desire Him. Desire the Word of God. Oftentimes it seems for so many people there's no spiritual appetite. We've filled ourselves with the junk of the world and we crowd it all out and we're fleshly and carnal with no desire for spiritual matters. So we need to be prepared for Sunday. Be hungry for the things of God. Don't indulge the flesh. Come hungry. Can I say also pray? Pray. Pray for yourself. Dear Lord, You know I'm needy, and He knows you're needy. He knows what you need, but I think He wants us to name it. Pray that God give you wisdom to hear His Word. That the problem that you're facing, the heartache that you're dealing with, the struggle you're dealing with, that God, please have the preacher say something about that for my help today. And it's amazing as we pray that way, that even if I don't even address it, the Spirit of God does. Even when the verse doesn't attain to what it may be that you're thinking of, the Spirit of God makes it apply. Although I'd never mention it. The preacher would never mention it. Pray for yourself. Pray for the preacher. Preacher, dear God, please anoint my preacher today. Please anoint him, God. Help him, Lord, to have a mind of Christ and to have a heart for the Spirit of God and be led by the Spirit and not be in a hurry and not be discouraged and not preach from the flesh, but preach the Spirit of God. Anoint him, God. Help him, Lord, to preach the Word for our help's sake. Pray for your preacher. Pray for those Sunday school teachers that they would be able to preach and teach from the Word of God. Number 4, trust the Bible over your emotions. Or your experiences. Look back at Psalms 19. Let's go back. Proverbs 19. Let's go back there. How to get counsel from the pulpit to the pew? Trust the Bible over your emotions or your experiences. Look at Proverbs 19, verse 21. It says, "There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand." The word devices there is not speaking of your iPhone or your Samsung. Your Android or your tablet. Speaking of ideas, schemes, strategies. God says in a man's heart there are many strategies that he has. Many ideas, inventions, schemes. That he wants to justify what he wants to do with his own thoughts and ideas. Many schemes in the heart of man. Many devices in the heart of man. But we know that as Christians, we know as people that sometimes our devices, our ideas, our strategies don't always work out. We stand with the results. I thought this would work. I thought I had it all figured out. I thought I knew what I was doing. And God says, don't trust your strategy. Don't trust your devices. Trust the counsel of the Lord because that shall stand. Even when it may appear that it's too hard, that it's impossible, God's Word always will stand. It's always right. But preacher, you don't understand. I feel so peaceful about this. It makes no difference. I feel peaceful about apple fritters. Amen. I feel peaceful about having sugar in my brownies. I have a lot of peace about that. Doesn't make it right. Our emotions, we as Christians, it's amazing how folks depend upon their feelings. Well, I got peace about it. It makes no difference if it's against or contrary to the Word of God. Oftentimes we spend so little time in prayer. I don't know anybody in this church, including myself, who's so spiritually dependent upon their emotions and their feelings. You're not that spiritual to depend upon your emotions, your feelings. None of us in this building are so spiritual we can say, I felt it and I have peace about it, so I know it's right. You're not that close to God. So I don't like that. Well, prove me wrong. That's not trying to be unkind. I'm saying this. His ways and his thoughts are higher than our ways and our thoughts. If you think that you got, if you think for a minute you're online with him and you're connected somehow, you're crazy. Outside of the Word of God, we have no connection. We need the Spirit of God in our life, the Word of God in our life, to have any kind of connection whatsoever. And God's Word says, don't you trust your feelings or emotions or even your experiences, trust the Word of God. It's hard sometimes to get charismatic people saved because they all have an experience. They'll get all psyched up and get in some kind of spirit, and they'll speak in tongues, and they'll hang on to that experience until they die. Why? Because they had an experience. You can show them from God's Word where it's contrary to the Word of God, and they won't believe it. They'll push away God's Word and says, but I know what I felt. It makes no difference what you felt, what I felt. What's the Bible say? We have got to trust the Bible and put the Bible over our emotions and our experiences. Listen, if your salvation experience don't match the Bible, you're not saved. So I had an experience once. I don't care. I'm glad for your experience, but if it's not according to the Bible, then your experience is not a salvation experience. You gotta have what the Word of God calls a salvation experience. You gotta respond faithfully. You gotta respond correctly to Jesus, well, through Jesus Christ and Him alone. Amen. You gotta trust in Him. And so we gotta come to a place, if we're gonna get counsel from the pulpit, that quit trying to criticize, quit trying to analyze everything that's a great message, but not for me. Trust the Bible over your emotions and your feelings and your experiences. Number 5 is be ready to hear. Verse number 20 says, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Be ready to hear. Can I say tonight that we ought to come willing to spend the time? Listen, I understand that the heart, the ear is going to take as much as the seeking endure. I get that. But some folks are in such a big hurry to get in and get out. I'm not sure what that's like, a quick stop for them. I don't want our ministry here to become a quick stop. You know, I've read on the internet about churches having drive-up church. You drive up, they give you a little sermonette, and away you go. What a mockery of the things of God. Be willing to spend some time. I think, listen, I'm not trying to be ugly tonight, but I'm not sure how much. I hope this comes out right. I'm not sure how effective it is to come to an altar for 3 seconds and go back to your pew. I'm not against coming to the altar. I think we ought to. But I'm not sure how effective it is to come here and do a little kneel and go back to your pew. It's like a little Catholic thing. We didn't give God the time to do anything in our life. I'm not against coming to the altar. And if you think, hey, I come to the altar, I spent 3 seconds, I've done my business, praise the Lord. Glory to God. But if you're not done business with God, then stay there until you're done business with God. Stay at the altar until God says, all right, I've heard you. We're good. Until He gives you the, listen, if you spend a half hour there, spend a half hour there. If the church lights go off and you're still there, stay there until God deals with you and lets you go. But we'll be willing to spend the time. Be willing to hear. Come willing to hear. Put away the attitudes. I don't need preaching. I've heard it all before, preacher. You preach the same thing every week. Just a different title, different scriptures, always the same though. I've heard what you said before. And by the way, I don't really like your voice. You know, your voice is, puts me to sleep. You know, get the right attitude about preaching. Come willing to hear. Quit thinking what's being said is not for me. I'm okay. It's not for me. I hope my husband gets this. You know, I hope the preacher's kids are getting what the preacher's saying. No, I'm thinking it's for you. Don't have that attitude. I'm not going to listen. I know I'm right, and I'm not changing. Yeah. Well, remember when you first got born again, and how that you're willing to do anything for the cause of Christ, You were so excited about being saved and by being a new Christian, and you wanted to please God. And so if the preacher said, here, the Bible says you ought to wear purple, you're like, well, sign me up, I'm wearing purple next week. Well, now we've got to debate everything. Well, I'm not so sure the preacher's right about that. Well, if it's the Word of God, it's the Word of God. I'm excited about the young couple coming. They got a long ways to go. They got a lot of obstacles to overcome, Justin and Alyssa. A lot of obstacles to come. But today we're talking about some things that put, and they want it so bad to be members of our church. They just want to join our church to be part of it. But they've got some things that are hindering them. And so I'm a little leery of bringing it up because I don't want to scare them away. So today I just gently nudged a little bit in some direction of their life, and they said, "Preacher, we've been convicted about that for several weeks. Thank you for saying something about it."
Oh, good, amen.
Preacher, we need to change that. We know now we need to change that.
No, that's good.
I wish we always stay there.
Hey. Yes,
I should all stay there. Sometimes we think that we can read the book to you, but you want an act of God to make it happen. Preacher, I know the book says that, but if you can get water from a rock, I'll believe you then. I'll change then. If you can part the Red Sea, then I might change, preacher. Hey, it's the book. It's the book. Be willing to change. Be willing to change. Recognize your life has needs, problems, and failures. You have not yet arrived. I'm not arrived. None of us in this room tonight, I don't care what preacher gets behind this pulpit, how good he may be, how much time he's been in the ministry, they have not yet arrived either. And when they do arrive, they won't be in this pulpit. Recognize your life has needs and problems and failures. Where do you get help for? In the preaching ministry. You're not as near to God as you need to be. Now, I'm not being condescending tonight, but you and I are not as near to God as what we need to be. So we get help from the preaching ministry. How we do that? Be willing to hear. Young folks, be willing to hear. Some of you already come preloaded with an attitude. I'm not sure why that is, but you already come. You come on Sunday morning, you cock it already, you're cocked and loaded, you're already ready to go. Ditch the attitude. Say, God, I've got needs. I've got problems. I've got failures in my life. I've got sin in my life. God, I need some help today from the pulpit. Last number six is this, and we'll finish with this thought. Be willing to make application. Lord says here, hear counsel and receive instruction. That receiving is not just hearing, but receiving is making application. All right, so I heard the truth. Now, what do I do with it? Make application. Take notes. One way to help you is take notes. If you want to remember something, the best way to do that is take notes. Highlight scripture. Mark up your Bible. Get the CD or get the recording and listen to it again. But take notes and be hungry to receive instruction and to take it in. Ask God to show you what you need. Change what needs to be changed. And so be willing to make up. God, by the way, I think some folks have this idea that we're in the wild, wild west and that somehow if we make a change, you come to the pulpit, preacher's going to notch his gun. And I'm not going to have the preacher notch his gun on my decision. So I'm just going to sit here stiff-necked and no way I'm going to go down because it's the preacher down there and he'll think he won. So it's not about winning. For me anyway. You see, if you don't change or you don't budge, I don't win and I don't lose. You're the loser. You're the one that has lost. It's not about my will against your will. It's never been about that. I'm just supposed to answer to God's calling and God's commitment to preach the Word of God. And as long as I do that and preach the Word of God, I've done well. When I hear God's Word preached, if I hear it and accept it and make application, I've done well as a believer. And so change what needs to be changed. Listen to this verse here. Proverbs 29:1, a very important verse, a serious verse. He that being often reproved. The preaching ministry is about reproof and correction and instruction, is it not? He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. The Word of God warns us that if you go to church and you come to church time after time and hear preaching after preaching, it will not address your problem, but you're stiff-necked and you're hard-hearted. I will not change. I will not move. That's not about me. It's about somebody else. And don't bother with the Word of God. I am who I am and I'm fine with that. God said that one day, There'll come sudden destruction in your life and without remedy. You'll become a statistic. You'll become a has-been. You'll become they would have been. Or that's what I used to do. You'll be one of those guys that 10 years from now, you'll say, well, I used to go to a Baptist church. But see, now you won't own up to it. You won't say it's your fault. You'll say, but the preacher was unkind. The church was unfriendly. The church had some problems, so we left. And because I left, I became a derelict. You know, it's the preacher's fault. But the fact of the matter is, oftentimes, it's when God convicts us over and over again, and we stay stiff-necked and hard-hearted. I will not budge. I will not move. I said, all right, I'm gracious, but there comes a time when I say no more. And I'm going to chase in Christians. There can be a time when God says, all right, here's a spanking, here's a chastening, and there is no remedy. You know, there are some baggages in our life that we have collected over the years that there is no easy fix for. And though God can forgive us and God can heal us, we carry that baggage for the rest of our life. There is no remedy but to live with it. So every service, every message, the preaching ministry is to give counsel that is profitable for your life. And so I have to answer to God what I preach in the pulpit ministry. We have to answer to God, what will I do with the pulpit ministry? What will I do with the word of God preached? Now again, I'll tell you this. I try to be real careful about preaching my preferences. If I do preach my preferences, I'll let you know, this is my preference. This is what I think works for me. So this is what I've come to in my life, in this area of my life. It's a preference, but I can't say it's scripture. But God listens to the word of God. You know, and we ought to take it here and then make application of it. And so, the failure of preaching is the failure to preach the word. Let that not be a failure in our church. The failure of preaching is the failure to hear the word of God. Let that also be a failure in our church. Amen? And so, even when the preaching may not be as good as other people's delivery or preaching, if we're listening to the word of God, listening to the Bible, we can always get some help from it. We'll get some help from it. Father, we come to you tonight. And Lord, a lot of folks depend so heavily upon counseling that oftentimes really does not do a lot of benefit. But Lord, there's counsel been given every week from the pulpit, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school hour. Well, maybe learn to get counsel from the pulpit. Learn to hear the word of God, be an instruction. Be willing to listen and receive it, Father. Blessing, I ask you, our church family, we pray in your name. Let's all stand tonight. You know, begins to play an invitation song, you know, you need to come, would you come?